Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS-TO-SWITCH and you can save an average of $470 on auto insurance. That's a lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think? Average nationwide annual savings, survey data July to December 2020.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
I saw, did you guys see that there was apparently an American Airlines flight that may have recorded a UFO? Byer, did you see this? Ramos, did you guys see this? Gavin?
No, I have seen a lot of UFO type stuff in the last month or so. So maybe that's what it's about.
Yeah, we're back in on the UFO thing. Do you believe that we're alone, or do you think that there's aliens?
Me personally, I don't know about aliens, that term, but I believe that there is other things out there in the universe, yes.
Okay. Gavin?
Yeah, I would go more along with lines of that. Like, there's something else out there.
Do you believe that whatever something else is out there has visited us?
Secretly?
What do you mean secretly?
No, like, they have already visited us, or they're trying to visit us right now?
I don't know. They're trying. It's not like they knocked on the door. We're like, nah, sorry, we were gone.
Hey, we're not coming.
We have a dome
yet.
Around us. Okay?
Is that UFO that other planet Mars rover? You know, like they're watching it and they're saying they're getting close to us. Maybe.
Like, man, that planet looks desolate.
Yeah, yeah.
For intelligence. They're like, there is no intelligence there.
Oh, man.
The plane was traveling from Cincinnati to Phoenix Sunday afternoon when the flight crew spotted a strange flying moving object flying above them. The pilot called it in first asking, do you guys have targets up here? He added, I hate to say this, but it looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast. It went right over the top of us. The FBI, their spokesperson, said they're aware of the reported incident.
Maybe it was just the Lakers NBA title chances leaving this earth. Maybe that's what it was.
I heard the long cylinder goes, it looks like a big Johnson. Right? Remember that from Austin Powers too? It's a great scene.
One of the greatest opening sequences ever.
Oh, it's an amazing scene. Amazing scene. Okay. So Byer, do you believe in UFOs?
Yeah, I believe that there's something out there. I think that there's life.
Yeah, I think there's life out there. The question is, has life visited us?
I'm sure at some point, you know, that I
but they came and they're like, eh.
Yeah, seriously. You know, 60,000 years ago, maybe they're way advanced.
Yeah, because you would think if they came here and realized that they could, like, come back and conquer, they would have came back already, right? Like if they look,
one would think,
yeah,
right?
They'd be like, "Hey, that's a place we got to go back and like take it over." But they haven't been back since, or they're just still kind of mulling around. I agree with you. They would have been back and been like, "Hey, here's our whole."
There's
crew.
Just things that don't like again, like things have to make sense to me. I'm just one of these people where I do have a good right brain, but the left brain's sitting there going, "It's like the." I mean, I'll just like it's the election thing, right? It's like, okay, so Democrats the only ones that would cheat. I don't understand that. And if there, why wasn't there any proof of it? And if they would cheat, why would they only cheat top of the ballot, not the entire ballot? Like, again, it has to be, that's be logic to it.
I too
believe that there is life out there. Like, it's just too arrogant a belief to think that we're the only human, only, you know, cognitive beings out there. I don't know what they're like. I also don't know. And I think it's common sense to think, yeah, we can't be, if there's really all these solar systems all over, somewhere there has to be some intelligent life. We're not so blessed. We're the only ones, right? On the other hand, if they visited us at some point, like, wouldn't they say hi? And why would they come and they go and they come and go? Why so dodgy?
Maybe they heard us debating if LeBron's the GOAT or not, and just right.
They were like,
turn around.
They were like, we were gonna go there, and then it was like LeBron and Jordan, like
extraterrestrial sports talk.
That place.
Like, why do you guys hate Notre Dame? We like Notre Dame. Why do you guys hate Duke? We like Duke. I love Duke. They're Duke fans. They love Duke. They love Duke.
I just always had a problem, and I'm not big on movies, as you guys know, but it always seemed like in the 60s and 70s TV shows, UFOs just always had two arms and two legs and a couple of eyes, like if you'd watch a Brady Bunch episode or something like that. And it's just to even think like that's what an alien would look like. I know now it's changed with depictions and shows, but
I bring it up because J.J. Watt's agent clearly put this out, like, he's mulling over options. They're between $15 and $16 million. Bro, if he was offered $15, $16 million, he would have already signed the contract. $15, $16 million total for a couple of years, for 2 years? Believable. $15, $16 million per year? No. No, there was an alien that went in through my backside sort of thing, right? And you guys have heard the stories like that. Yeah, well, they took me up into the spaceship and then they implanted something in my backside.
Prodded.
Yes. I was dissected and then put back together. And they left a probe in my nether regions. Like, yeah, I'm not sorry. I was born at night, just not last night. Right? That's the Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah, J.J. Watt's people letting out there. He's already got offered team 50. If he had an offer team $15, $16 million, which would be higher than his average salary from last year, right, then, yeah, it's not. There could be some massive incentives, right? But the likelihood is not. The Lakers are in a tough little rut here. Lost, how many lost in a row? Four? Four in a row?
Yeah.
Got spanked by the Utah Jazz last night. LeBron James, though, isn't worried about the tough stretch they're on.
It's challenging for all of us, especially some of our young guys, some of our guys that haven't been in this position before, where they need to do a little bit more than, what they're asked in a normal situation. Everyone's, just speaking about AD, and obviously that's a big hit, but we also haven't had Dennis along the stretch for a few games, too. He's a big piece of our puzzle as well. So, and everyone has, been put in positions that they, wouldn't be put in under normal circumstances. But, it's always about staying confident, continuing to give my teammates the courage and the confidence out there on the floor and to make plays. And, it's a tough stretch for us, but, this won't define who we will be for the rest of the season and for the long haul, that's for sure.
I don't know if you guys realize this. The midseason malaise is very much LeBron 101. The difference, though, is listen to his voice. He is not down. He is not about selling off pieces. Do you think he's taking mental notes? Man, Marc Gasol looks washed. Marc Gasol had one good game, but really looks washed. And he's trying to figure out which one of these new guys he's going to be able to ride with once they get to the playoffs. But it's first, he's right. Like, if you have three scorers and you don't have two of them, right? Like, and you play against, and you're the Lakers, defending champs, you're everybody's biggest game. How do you think it's going to go? How do you think it's going to go? But I'll just tell you this: like, this is a newer and better version of LeBron James, because LeBron would pout, sell out teammates, sell out his coach before. Now, it's obviously made easier because he won a championship last year, and he's won enough championships to where now he's viewed differently. And he has a patience and a calm to him, and he understands. But this is not the normal LeBron James. Normally, he would lose his mind. He would shut the world off. He might miss a game or two, pop up in Miami working out with Dwayne Wade or something. Remember that season when he was in Cleveland? You know, he hits these tough stretches. Traditionally, somebody's got to go. And I'm not talking about Quinn Cook, who got cut. Like, somebody's got to go, and they got to add something, and maybe the coach has to make amends, or maybe a coaching change is made. Look, some of it is that they won a championship last year, and Frank Vogel obviously earned a ton of respect in LeBron James's eyes. Some of it is LeBron's 36 now. He doesn't need to mess around with the nonsense. But a lot of it is he has matured as a leader, and he understands that the second he panics, everybody panics. Instead, he's very mature, and I think it's real. They only have a handful of guys back from last year. All these other guys got to figure it out, and he can watch them figure it out on the fly. Does that mean I think LeBron James is happy? No, of course not. Of course not. Does that mean that he is absolutely positively unhappy? And he's no, listen to his voice. I mean, he's the guy who's like, look, some of these guys haven't been in this position before. They got to learn. It's okay. If we're not the number one seed, it's okay. Right now there's no fans. It doesn't even matter. So this is a different LeBron James than the one that we have grown used to. It's Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today for a quote.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, live in the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS. You can switch and save a bundle on your auto insurance. We'll hear from Jovan Buha of The Athletic covering the Lakers in a moment. First, I want to play for you something I heard. There's an Eye Test for Two podcast. John Lynch, the GM of the Niners, was on it. Take a listen to what he had to say about his quarterback.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback when you line up in September?
No, not at all. I mean, I really believe that he, you know, I just look at the numbers. I mean, he's 25 and 9 when he's played. You know, though, being available is a big part of this thing. So, like I said, we probably as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better and we got to have better options if he's not there. But, you know, I've watched people go through this in the career where they struggle. It happened to me early and then I went 8 years without missing a practice. So, I believe that things can happen. I believe they will for him. And you know, I really believe that Jimmy is our guy.
All right. So I look at John Lynch as a pretty stand-up guy. I do. But, you know, business is business. And what he thought today doesn't mean it's what he'll think in 2 weeks. If, you know, pick your quarterback becomes available. Yeah, you know, if they say, hey, here's Sam Darnold on a platter, do you move on? The problem with Sam Darnold is you get 1 year, then you got to redo his deal. Whereas you've already paid a bunch of money on Garoppolo and you want to see reap some of the benefits of it. So it's interesting because it's pretty obvious to most people that McVay has become increasingly frustrated with Jimmy G, and whether it's Jimmy G's play at times or his lack of availability. You know, it's like the expression in the NFL is availability is a big part of ability. And it's a great point. But all we can do, I understand that other GMs have, and you know, owners have given the dreaded vote of confidence to their coaches and then fired them. Owners and coaches and GMs have given dreads of confidence to quarterbacks before. John Lynch, pretty straight shooter. As of now, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt, don't we?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We talked about the struggles of the Lakers. Of course, they're without two of their top three scorers, without Dennis Schroeder, without Anthony Davis. They do have LeBron James, but, I mean, there's got to be a reasonable nature. And they got stopped last night by the Utah Jazz. Jovan Buha covers them for The Athletic. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I want to play for you LeBron and something I know you heard, right? This is LeBron after the game when asked about the team's struggles?
It's challenging for all of us, you know, especially some of our young guys, some of our guys that haven't been in this position before where they need to do a little bit more than, you know, what they're asked in a normal situation. You know, and, you know, everyone's, you know, just speaking about AD, and obviously that's a big hit, but we also haven't had Dennis along the stretch for a few games, too. He's a big piece of our puzzle as well. So, you know, and everyone has, you know, been put in positions that they, you know, wouldn't be put in under normal circumstances. But, you know, it's always about staying confident, continuing to give my teammates the courage and the confidence out there on the floor and to make plays. And, you know, it's a tough stretch for us, but, you know, if, you know, this won't define who we will be for the rest of the season and for the long haul, that's for sure.
Now, Javon, that's a pretty much a perfect answer. Perfect answer. But that's like the exact opposite of how he usually is in these mid-season losing stretches when he's been in L.A., when he's been in Cleveland, when he's been in Miami, and he kind of shuts down on people, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought last night was a very vulnerable media session from both LeBron James and Markieff Morris, who, you know, rarely speaks to the media. I think has only talked like three times or so this season. But, you know, they both kind of went into how mentally and physically draining this season has been with the short off season, with the condensed schedule of basically playing every other day. And then now with the injuries, you know, they just don't really get a mental break from it. And you know, that's what Markieff was saying, that just it's hard to kind of detach and escape and just clear your head when you're playing every other day. And you know, especially when you're losing, you're in a funk, like it just kind of compounds. And, you know, to your point about LeBron, like, you know, I thought he said it best, but you're right. I mean, he doesn't always kind of peel back the curtain in this way. But I just think it speaks to, you know, this team, I think, has had a bit of a humbling recently. And that's what Keith was saying, like, you know, that we've learned about ourselves now. We've learned what our weaknesses are. And I think that's going to be something that you know, potentially pays dividends for this team in the long run, because, you know, they were kind of coasting by on their talent to start the season. And just having, you know, two top 10, you know, arguably top five players on the court for majority of these games, like, you're going to win a lot of games in the NBA, but you know, they're, you know, be it their turnovers, some of the defensive rotations and their inability to protect the rim and you know, different weaknesses that they have, like those didn't really pop up when they're playing, you know, an easier schedule or just kind of rolling teams. But, you know, recently with the tougher schedule, with AD being out, like we've seen a lot of these weaknesses pop up. And you know, I think it has been interesting to see kind of the shift from the team of, you know, I feel like a couple weeks ago they were talking very confidently and it was, you know, oh, this is just a rough patch, it doesn't really matter. But recently I think there's been some vulnerability, and I think that this is a situation that could potentially help them in the long run if they learn from it.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Why do you think the gentle tone from LeBron? Is it because they won last year? Is it because he's trying to figure out which one of these guys he can roll with when it gets real? Is it coach? Is it his relationship with his coach and coaching staff? What do you think that the biggest reason that he's so different in this situation than he's kind of ever been?
I think in other situations, there might've been a clearer scapegoat, be it, you know, his coach at the time or another teammate that he maybe was having a disagreement with. But I think in this situation, there isn't really a clear scapegoat. Like, I mean, I guess the most obvious reason why they're losing is Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder out, right? Like, you know, those are their second and third best offensive players, second and third leading scorers. And those guys are very important. And I think one part of his quote that is really illuminating is he said, you know, guys are kind of stepping into roles that they're not really suited for and you know, having to do more than they normally would have to do. And I think if you look at the design of this Lakers roster, yes, it is a very deep team, and that's been a theme all season where Frank Vogel has really struggled to, you know, do I go with 9 guys? Do I go with 10 guys? Do I go with 11 guys? Like, how do I manage all these roles and all these minutes? But offensively, there are 3 clear pillars in the offense. It's LeBron, it's AD, and it's Dennis. And right now, they're without 2 of those 3 pillars. And, you know, it's basically all been on LeBron. And if you just look at the way they're playing offensively, if LeBron isn't doing something, they're just not getting good looks. They're basically playing horseshoe basketball, just moving the ball around the perimeter, and someone's taking a last second shot to try to beat the shot clock. Like, it's been very ugly offensive basketball. And so I just think, yes, this team is deep, and yes, they have some versatility, but not really in shot creation, not really in playmaking. It is a lot on LeBron and Dennis and AD. So I think he's just kind of like, who am I supposed to get mad at here? Like who am I supposed to blame? Like, it's just the fact of the matter is they're down two of their best players, and this team wasn't really designed to be able to withstand that. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they need to add somebody on the buyout market. Maybe they need to add somebody via trade. But as constructed, they don't really have the pieces to make up for those losses the way that some other teams do, you know, with more ball handlers, more scorers. Like, Lakers don't really have that. They are designed to have role players fit in perfectly around LeBron and AD.
Right. And without AD, and you don't have those key cogs, right? Nothing else. It's not designed around ball and people movement. That's not how you script it. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jovan Buha joining us. It looks like Marc Gasol was one like, ooh, I like Marc Gasol. And then you watch the play like, ooh, I don't know. Like, a couple of these games he's looked decent, but gosh, he looks over the hill.
Yeah, it's not been good. And that's where I think, you know, now with the waiving of Quinn Cook, the Lakers have two open roster spots. They have to sign a player within the next 2 weeks to go to the league mandated minimum of 14 players. So it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe that's re-signing Quinn on a 10-day contract or a cheaper contract. But I think if you look at what this team could use, it's probably another center, and particularly a defensive center. When you look at Mark, who's slow of foot, you know, and can't really contain guys in pick and roll, or can't really rotate in a timely manner. Or you look at Montrezl Harrell, who at 6'7" is undersized at the center position and not much of a rim protector. Like, the one area this team can clearly improve once they're healthy is a defensive athletic center in the mold of a JaVale or Dwight, two guys who were important for them last season. So I think if you're looking at a way for the Lakers to kind of bolster this roster once, you know, they get their guys back, it's that. It's a guy who can, you know, be it starting or just taking some of the bench minutes of the fives, like someone who can protect the rim, be a big body, and move their feet, because they currently do not really have that at the center position when Anthony Davis isn't playing there. Of course, they can move him there, but he doesn't want to do that in the regular season. So I think that's the one weakness that they're going to try to shore up over the next month or so.
Who do they think is their biggest competition in the West?
I think they still look at the Clippers. I think for as good as Utah has been and as good as they look, they don't, when they're playing the Lakers, they don't have the best player in the series. They might not even have the second best. I mean, I would argue that Anthony Davis is better than anybody on the Jazz. But when you look at the Clippers, you know, Kawhi can not only outperform AD potentially, but he can outperform LeBron. I mean, we've seen him do that at times in the playoffs, at least match him in a series. So I think it's the Clippers, and, you know, that makes for a juicy storyline. You got the Battle of L.A. But I think if you ask them, you gave them truth serum, who's a bigger threat to them, the Clippers or the Jazz, I think they would say the Clippers.
I tend to agree with you. I think most people do. It's interesting, the Jazz kind of desire for respect, but it's like we've seen this from the Milwaukees of the world. We've seen it from other teams in the East, sometimes in the West, where they have these gaudy regular season records. Like, yeah, the postseason, it's not going to be that way. And even though that was a great win for them last night, dominating performance, it's like, until you don't tell me you're pregnant, show me the baby, and you can't do that until you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you.
Jovan Buha joining us, covering the Lakers for The Athletic. All right, what about Anthony Davis? When's he going to return?
So it looks like it's going to be another 2.5 to 3 weeks from this point. So that would bring him back, you know, I guess right as they get back from the All-Star break. I do think they're going to be, you know, particularly cautious with him, just because Achilles is not an injury you mess around with. We saw what happened with Kevin Durant. We've seen other guys have Achilles injuries, and even, you know, of course the rupture is the most serious, but even ruptures have had guys out for multiple months. So I think for the Lakers, you know, they've been pretty adamant that seeding is not that important to them. You know, yes, they want to be the one seed. They want to have as, you know, easy of a path in the playoffs as possible. But, you know, they're of the mindset that as long as LeBron and AD are healthy in a 7-game playoff series, it will take their chances against anybody in the West or anybody in the East. And for them, you know, messing around with AD's Achilles just to potentially be like a one seed higher and win a couple of extra games is not worth it. And I think they kind of learned that, honestly, after bringing him back toward the Memphis game, because, you know, he played, then immediately the next game against Denver, he re-aggravates it and now is out for multiple weeks. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence that, it was immediately after returning that that happened. So I think they're going to be extra cautious, and I expect him back, you know, quickly after the All-Star break, but it wouldn't surprise me if they maybe gave him an extra week off, miss a few more games, and then bring him back sometime in the second half of March.
I know LeBron's talking like he wants to play all these games, but they're going to shut him down for a couple of games at some point, aren't they?
I think they're going to have to. I mean, as you said, he's been adamant about not shutting down. He said it a couple of games ago that he's like, you guys in the media are the ones setting this narrative. You guys for the last 5, 6, 7 years have been saying LeBron needs to rest. LeBron needs to play fewer minutes. You know, LeBron needs to save his workload. Like, I'm good. I'm healthy. I feel great. Could I use a little bit more rest? Sure, everybody can. But, you guys are the ones setting that narrative. And while I do think, you know, of course, in the media, we're the ones talking about this stuff. Like, we've never seen someone handle this level of workload at 36 years old in year 18. Like, he just played, he's averaging 38 minutes a game in February, which would lead the NBA if that were, you know, over the full season. And that's just, you know, not what a 36-year-old should be doing. We have enough of history of looking back at, you know, when guys hit their mid-30s, like their minutes usually decline into that, you know, 30, 31, 32-minute range. And for him to be averaging 38 for the month and 35 for the season, that's just a little bit too high. So I do think at some point the Lakers have a grueling back-to-back or grueling schedule in the second half of the season. They have 8 back-to-backs. They have a 7-game road trip on the East Coast. Like, they do not have a rest-friendly schedule. So I do think at some point, be it a minutes limit or just LeBron sitting out a game or two here and there, they are going to have to conserve his minutes, because at this rate, I don't see how he has his full energy in the playoffs if he keeps this up.
Which is what you're truly judged by, obviously, and it will be interesting. Jovan, great stuff, man. Awesome information and insight. Thank you for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Pleasure's mine. Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Jovan Buha. By the way, speaking of the Lakers, Max Hooper is a good friend of mine. He played at Harvard, St. John's, and Oakland, then played professionally. He is in the film room for the Lakers. He joined me on my All Ball podcast. We just put it up. That's, type in All Ball wherever you download podcasts. You'll love it. His dad was an amazing guy who really discovered Dave Matthews Band. We talk about that on the pod as well. His late father, Chip, who was the number one booking agent in the United States before his untimely passing due to cancer. So Max Hooper and I on the new All Ball podcast.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance. Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play for you a portion of... of a previous show on Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports Radio, we call it.
And now.
What does the Fox say? This is Nick right on First Things First this morning, throwing a wet blanket on the Utah Jazz.
Everyone's going to be on television this week giving the Jazz their flowers, and good for them. And they deserve them because right. They've earned it. I'm very curious to see if anyone actually is going to back that up with, and I think they can win the title, because I don't think anybody does. I think that everyone that's going to be like, good for the Jazz. We're so happy for you. Quinn Snyder, Donovan Mitchell, put respect on his name. The Stifel Tower. Do you see Jordan Clarkson with the ultimate green light? I think all of them are like, and here are 6 teams I would pick over them to win the title.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do I think Utah's the best team? No. Do I think they're playing great basketball? Yes. You know, the sixth team. I don't even know what to do with that. Right? It's like, of course, it's hard to prove yourself until you actually do it. I will point out, though, that at some point in time, somebody always has to accomplish it the first time. Now, it was not a super team put together, so they didn't have two of the top five or top 10 players in the NBA. You do have that with Brooklyn, but you have arguably the best defensive center in the NBA. I mean, maybe the best defensive player in the NBA. And I would put Donovan Mitchell in anybody's list of top 10 players. And it would be interesting to see if the supporting cast, like, part of it is we can't always use yesterday's news to be today's story. The example is, if I said the Lakers have Marc Gasol, you're like, man, that's an awesome pickup. Have you seen Marc Gasol play? He sucks. He's over the hill. Okay? He just is. He was a great defensive center, but now he can't move. Now he's become just a spot-up three-point shooter and occasionally a rim protector, but he can't move laterally at all. At all. So previous reputation and name reputations are great. But that doesn't make you all that good. It's like Wes Matthews. How do we view Wes Matthews with the Lakers? Right, before Achilles tendon surgery, since Achilles tendon, what his role was with Dallas. Now he's getting a chance to start with the Lakers, and he's not doing it. You know, this is a lot like DeMarcus Cousins. You're like, oh, DeMarcus Cousins on the market? Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins, before he tore his Achilles tendon and ACL, and before kind of the league changed to where how we want our big guys. He's too slow. If Houston doesn't want him, why should you want him? The Lakers don't want him back. So my point is that while we're sitting here and Nick is mocking the Utah Jazz, hey, the truth is, let's not use yesterday's information for today. Because if we did that with the Lakers, we would have said, like, dude, the Lakers, what have they done? Now, granted, they had LeBron James, but the previous year with LeBron James, they weren't good. They weren't good late in the year when he came back against the bad teams. And they added Anthony Davis. Yes. Yes. But, like, how much Clipper data are you going to use? You're going to use all the Clipper failures in the playoffs against this Clipper team when Kawhi wasn't on those teams? He was on last year's team that failed. It was last year. It's very hard to win it in your first year. And LeBron hasn't done it in any of the four places he's been. Three places, but twice in Cleveland. That's what the Fox says. What does the Fox say? It's the Doug Gottlieb Show live from Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Dan Byer, you want to get into this?
Yeah, I think the whole point that you're making, and I look at it as a bigger picture because it's a conversation we've had before, is what makes the NBA so exhausting in talking about. And not to belabor the point, but if this was the NFL, or maybe even, Doug, a sport we don't talk about as much, Major League Baseball, if a team is hot in the middle of the summer, we aren't poo-pooing their chances and saying, it's going to be the Dodgers winning it all anyway, or the Rays haven't shown anything, or, you know, who's this Minnesota team? Well, Minnesota may be different because of their playoff history, but the point being is we don't just poo-poo good stuff that's going on in the season. And even in the NFL, we may not necessarily believe that the Colts or the Titans or the Browns were Super Bowl contenders, but if they go on a streak, you're like, okay, I can maybe see a path here. And that's the toughest part of the NBA is most of us or a majority all that matters is the playoffs. So even if something great is happening in Utah and there's a buzz about the Jazz, it's all poo-pooed because it's not what's happening in the playoffs. And I think that's such a problem with the NBA, where if it was the NFL, or I even just think of baseball as a better example of why it just isn't, you know, as exhausting. I mean, what's the point of poo-pooing the Jazz? They're playing freaking awesome right now.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And look, I like Nick and I are friends. The arrogance by which he acts like none of it matters. Like, why are you talking about it then?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you talking about it? But what's it? If you're just going to dismiss it as meaning nothing, as like, I get it, dude. You like LeBron? It's cool. You know, he hasn't won every year. He didn't play the Clippers last year. They didn't play the Bucks last year. Nobody thinks the Heat were even the best team in the East. So he got a little bit, and they won. Congratulations. But like laughing off everybody else, like, okay, for what? Why are you talking about the hottest team in the NBA? One that just kicked the crap out of the Lakers. And look, I give the Lakers a bit of a pass. You don't have Schroeder. You don't have Anthony Davis. You ain't winning games against teams. And part of it is heavy as that head that wears the crown. But be very, very careful about dismissing a motivated team that's been to the playoffs. They've seen what it's like. They've reconfigured some. And everybody thinks that Quinn Snyder's a big-time coach. You know, one of the things is you have some Anthony Davis has broken down before. Like, careful what you laugh. That's a calf injury. And everyone is just as concerned over that calf as they should be, maybe more so because Kevin Durant had a calf injury before he had an Achilles injury. I don't think that's what it is. I don't think they would have had him be close to playing, but they also let Kevin Durant come back and play.
And I think Utah, Doug, is different than a team like Milwaukee that's failed in the last two playoffs. You know, either the Bucks aren't a marquee team. Giannis is a, you know, obviously two-time MVP, but, you know, we know it's the Nets, we know it's, you know, the Lakers, we know those names are the ones that grab headlines and how you do it, but, you know, to take attack on the Jazz is just, it's such a, to me, it's one of the problems with the NBA. And wow,
it's a total problem
so
with the NBA. I completely agree with you. It's a complete issue with the NBA where, and look, some of it is us as fans, right? Whereas fans, we dismiss the regular season NBA because it's boring. And it's ESPN has become, they started this about 6-7 years ago, like where the regular season MVP really meant something. It's meant something, but not really, right? Not really. But they start that conversation mid-year. Why? To make us care about something we don't normally care about. On the other hand, when you have a Donovan Mitchell, when you have a Rudy Gobert, when you have a little bit of uniqueness of a story, and they're beating teams straight up, good teams straight up, I don't know why you would... they're like, what, the 6th or 7th best team to... Okay, so were the Heat last year. They got to the finals. And I don't think the Heat will beat the Lakers, but remember the Heat were all banged up in the finals. Russell Wilson, through his agent, taught us something really interesting today. Right? What is it they say? What is it, like 50% of marriages end up in divorce? You know? It's the ones that sneak up on you. And the Wilson thing is interesting because Cowherd was really the first guy to say Russell's not totally happy up there. Don't be surprised if he ends his career somewhere else. This is going back a year ago. A year ago. I'll credit Colin because, Colin, that was the first place I ever heard it. And then Russell kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit when he talked to Dan Patrick. But it was in his, like, yeah, you know, I'd really like to be brought in more on some decisions. No, I don't. I'm not in on any decisions. Like, guys talk about, this is the whole thing with doing interviews. Players can steer a conversation to whatever you want to talk about. But Russell Wilson's done the thing in marriage that people do. He presented a list. We'll talk about that list next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.